Good morning, one and all. Whether you're just a regular viewer out there or a member of Congress, thank you for tuning into another episode of the Damage Report. I'm John Iderola, very lucky also to be joined on today's program by the one, the only, Adrian Lawrence. Adrian, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Excited to have you here. It's been a little bit since we spoke. There's been a lot of developments in different areas of the news, certainly legally. I was hoping that today would be like a big day of breaking down new charges or procedure, but it's not. There's lots of good news, but not really about the law, unfortunately. So I apologize. I wanted to give you that. But
anyway. That's okay. It's all right. I'm sure someone will break the law this week.
I'm sure there are people working at it right now, even as we record this. In any event, there is a lot that we're going to be talking about today. The child tax credit could come back, but there's a couple different ways that it could come back. Some, I would say, more reasonable than others, but we'll break down the different plans. Greg Abbott in Texas now being sued by the Department of Justice for their murderous plan to drown people in the Rio Grande. All of this, of course, being done by people who are hardcore devoted Christians who just think that there aren't enough bodies floating in that river. So we're gonna be talking about that new conspiracy following the tragic death of Tafari Campbell, chef of former President Barack Obama. You're not allowed, by the way, to die or to even get sick in the modern era without it immediately producing conspiracy theories. So that's a lot of fun. And Peter Navarro just openly advocating for a partisan civil war. So that's cool, and that's just in the first hour. In the aftermath, we're gonna be talking with a representative of MoveOn.org about their banned bookmobile, very exciting project, and AI coming for news anchors' jobs. Uh-oh, we're gonna evaluate how good they are at it at the current date. And way ahead of all that, please hit the like button, share the stream if you're on a platform where you can do that so people can join up. Talk along with us. We're going to be responding to your comments during the social breaks. We might even be giving away a $100 Blue Apron gift card if, God help me, I can remember to do it. Send in comments telling me to do it. I need the boost. But anyway, with all that said, Adrian, you ready to do this thing?
I am. Let's do it.
We will. And I know people are wondering if we're going to talk about this. Come on, who am I? Hey, Marjorie Greene, glad that you're tuning into the show. I have been very critical of you in the past, implying, admittedly, based on what you've said and done, that you don't seem like a particularly curious person. You don't seem like a lifelong learner. You seem to be very confident in your ignorance about a number of different topics. And yet, you are tuning into this program, which shows a willingness, albeit potentially just briefly, to expose yourself to other perspectives and perhaps learn something. Now, how do I know that the representative is watching? Well, she tweeted about us yesterday and did a little review. Generally, I prefer these reviews to come in the form of like iTunes or something like that, but I'll take it. I'll take it in a tweet. Sorry, an X. Anyway, she X'd this. I just watched the Damage Report for the first time. Maybe for the first time. We can't confirm or deny that. Okay, maybe. These two admitted atheists, that's me and Francesca Fiorentini, are attacking President Trump about his Christian faith while claiming to hold moral beliefs. Now, there's a lot that Marjorie Greene brings up in this, so we're gonna have to take it one bit at a time. I love that she like focuses on the fact that we're atheists as if we didn't lead in that, as if she did investigative reporting or something. Yes, I'm an atheist. I've said that many times on the show. Francesca has as well. We don't find that to be a bad thing, a shameful thing at all. I don't know why you think that that's helping you win an argument, but okay. To be clear, we did not attack President Trump about his Christian faith. It is impossible for us to do that because I don't believe he has Christian faith. We were criticizing him for condescending to Christians who look up to and support him. That's what we were doing. We took a guy who once again showed a complete lack of ability or willingness to even pretend to think seriously about Christianity, Jesus, or God, to be asked a question by a woman, a conservative woman who clearly cares a lot about religion, and he spins this nonsensical couple of paragraphs about his legal troubles, not even able to fake being a true Christian. We were not attacking his Christian faith. We were standing up for conservative Christians who we might disagree with on a lot of different stuff, but we think they at least deserve to not be lied to by obvious charlatans. And by the way, Marjorie Greene, I have no doubt that you are more, at least on some level, in some form, committed to Christianity than Donald Trump is, it would be impossible for almost anyone not to be. But the fact that you could watch his response and not have a problem with it, that you could see all of the different ways that he's comported himself throughout his life, and the fact that you don't have a problem with that, I think that's something that should bother regular conservative Christians as well. And we're gonna turn to the other stuff that you brought up, because you apparently were watching for some time. But Adrian, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the response from Trump, but we've seen this in the past where he's asked simple stuff like, which do you prefer, the Old or the New Testament? And he doesn't even care enough to pretend to have an answer to it.
Yeah, you know what, I really would have thought that the whole 2 Corinthians thing would have signaled to people that this individual may not necessarily be as committed to their walk with Christ as they profess to be. But it seems like people want to continue to be stuck on stupid. I just really don't understand how individuals who subscribe to this whole evangelical Christian ideology can't recognize someone who doesn't. Who isn't walking the walk, who isn't talking the talk, but is largely looking for ways to fill their coffers, is looking for cosign, for votes, for all sorts of things that'll get voters to support and uplift them, but not actually engaging in any of the things that are indicia of Christianity. It's so incredibly clear. It's just, I don't know, it's so gaslighty, wrong, lying. I would almost think Judas is much far more Christian than Donald Trump, but that's just me.
Yeah, look, by the way, it's not like Christians weren't warned. The idea that some sort of like false savior could come up is in their like sacred books, not in mine. And when that false savior rises up, what are we supposed to believe? That they're not gonna have any acolytes defending them? No, they're gonna be other religious grifters who are apologizing for their vicious tendencies and immoral values. I'm not pointing any fingers at members of Congress or anything. I'm just saying if I were a conservative Christian, I'd have a problem. And the problem wouldn't be with me, a guy who is 100% transparent about my religious values as well as my political values. I'd be more worried by the people who clearly only worship money, status, wealth, power, but pretend to give a damn about the religion that you hold so dear. We're gonna move on to our next comment. They only attacked Trump and Republicans and never defended any Democrat policies. So first of all, yes, in that segment, we didn't focus on Democrat policies because we were responding to him answering the question. We weren't breaking down his platform, which he barely has anyway. Do we sometimes defend Democrat policies? Sure. But I love that sentence from you, Marjorie Greene, because it demonstrates once again an area of ignorance that you can perhaps move past. You seem to be laboring under the delusion that our show is just blindly support of the Democrats. Now, I get why you would believe that. There are a lot of shows that are, in the same way that there are a lot of shows that are blindly supportive of whatever the Republicans do. Do you understand that that's not the way that it has to be? That we can actually take a look at what people do, the promises they make, where they make good in it, where they fall short, evaluate the actual policies and what effect they're likely to have later on, what effect they have actually had, and then decide on a case by case basis whether we support something. Do you get that in principle, that's the way that it could work? I do sometimes support the Democrats, but not all the time. You probably think that I love Joe Biden or whatever. Do you get that I don't? That lots of progressives are not actually gigantic fans of the establishment Democrats? Is that not a thing that you can grasp? Anyway, she goes on to say, because again, she was watching for a while. Oh, by the way, up until this point, it's entirely possible that Marjorie Greene was watching like a clip that someone shared her, the clip of us responding to Trump, or later on the clip of us responding to a poll showing that many Trump supporters hold very interesting views on racism in America, specifically saying that they think that racism against white people is a bigger problem than racism against black people. And by the way, Marge, you're gonna eventually get to that. We'll return to that, but she also says, but they complained about summer heat. Too bad they can't understand that the Earth's climate has been changing since God created the Earth. Yeah, we only talked about that during the initial intro to the show. It wasn't in any of the clips. So just to be clear, she was watching the full show. Also, the fact that they can't understand that the Earth's climate has been changing since God created the Earth. First of all, yes, I understand that climate and weather change all of the time. Do you understand that generally it doesn't change on this scale in this direction in less than one century? Look, this is really where, when I point out her ignorance, so when I talk about her perceived, I think, failings as a Christian, humility is a value of Christianity. If you're Marjorie Greene, how the hell can you think that you, with your complete lack of interest in any of this, she's never done the work, she's never run studies, she's never read books, she's never read papers, she's never talked to climate scientists, that you can take all of the life's work that these people do, the conferences they run, the long-term research, all of that, and you just say, well, it's always changing, and that's even, that balances out? Where is the humility in that? The belief that you've nailed it, that you didn't have to do any work, you didn't have to be creative, you didn't have to challenge yourself. You just were born into this world with an equal level of knowledge about the fate of our climate. A little bit of humility would be my suggestion. Again, I'm an atheist, you don't have to listen to me, but that would be my suggestion. Adrian, sorry, obviously I have a lot to say about this. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's a great suggestion as far as I'm concerned. The thing is that individuals like Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're the types where if a cannibal used a fork and knife, they'd call it progress. You know, it's just a complete and total misrepresentation of actual facts. It's a very vapid take because they think that they're scoring points when really they are pandering to individuals, misleading them, especially when it's the voting populace or individuals who rely on their representatives for guidance and for knowledge and truth. And it's so incredibly disingenuous and dangerous, especially now when we talk about things like heat, climate change, we talk about COVID-19, we talk about vaccines, we talk about things that'll impact people's life or death status in this world. And you have individuals like Marjorie Taylor Greene just out here saying whatever makes them feel like they can pat themselves on the back. I will say that whole comment about you not addressing the Democrat stuff, but criticizing Republican conservative, it's clear that she's thinking of this whole politics thing as a team sport.
Definitely.
That you either have to be for one or the other. That ain't how it works. Again, these things we call politics, they impact people's life or death. We can't afford to play teams. It's disingenuous and it's dangerous.
100%. Yeah, and we do defend some Democrat policies. We also viciously criticize other Democrat policies. We even sometimes give credit to Democrat or Republicans for doing the right thing. Josh Hawley supporting the bill to ban stock trading. We gave him credit for that last week. In that week-long tear of the Supreme Court, mostly doing terrible harm to a lot of different groups, we gave them credit for not supporting the racist voting map of, I believe it was Alabama in that particular case. We give credit where credit is due. Also, when I do it, I almost invariably say, there's no reason to do this nuance. No one will ever give you credit for it, but we believe in doing reality-based discussion of the news. I apologize, Marjorie, if that doesn't fit into the slots in your brain, that everything is just supposed to be a partisan game, you know, where like maybe we win a little bit, then you win a little bit, or in a larger sense, we just bicker back and forth. Nothing fundamentally changes, and thus the people who are already winning in the status quo continue to win. I know that you're perfectly comfortable to allow that to happen. You've been sent to Congress by the richest people in the country to allow that to happen. I'm not playing that game. Anyway, she goes on to say, oh, and if you're a white Trump supporter, they claim you are racists and that you need CRT to understand your whiteness and your racism. No, so Francesca did, I think, say that she is demonstrating why CRT could be useful. Again, it's an area of scholarship, academia that Marjorie Greene does not know literally anything about and doesn't have the single shred of curiosity necessary to challenge herself to see if maybe there is something to it. She's just not gonna do that. She's not a curious person. She does not respond to the fact that what we were saying was, again, in polls, Trump supporters, self-identified Republicans, were more likely to consider racism against white people a serious problem than racism against black people in modern America. That is, I can't swear, that's bananas. I'll say it's bananas to keep it PG. If you believe that, there is something fundamentally wrong with you. Believing that does not by itself mean that you're definitely a racist, but it is obviously a symptom of some truly corrosive views about American society, particularly in the area of race. It says a lot. It demands more research. That's what academics do, Marjorie Greene. That wasn't the only survey they're ever gonna do. But it should bother you that people who like you believe those things more than that people like me might criticize those beliefs. Sorry, Adrian, I know that you didn't see that poll, but it seems crazy to me.
Yeah, no, it definitely is reflective of considerable ignorance. And also, it's continuing just, you see this almost whitewashing of truth and fact to continue to prop up those already in power, whether it's systemic racism or any kind of other kind of oppression or bias that's in place in our society. It's a way of keeping people ignorant, a way of keeping those who are contributing to the problem and benefiting from it in a place of woeful ignorance, to the point where they feel that they are the ones being victimized. It's disgusting. And you have individuals like Marjorie Taylor Greene really pushing that forward because it allows the status quo to remain the status quo.
Yeah, no, 100%. Now, I want to end. So, and finally, she says, there, I watched it, so you don't have to waste your time. Yeah, but what about the potential time they might waste on today's show or tomorrow's show? It looks like you're going to have to keep doing your little reviews to make sure that they don't expose themselves to actual information. You seem less worried about what I'm saying than that people might hear what I'm saying, Marjorie Greene. Why does that bother you so much? Anyway, finally though, since it looks like she does watch the show, it looks like indeed that she is a member, because as we said, she referenced things that were only in the full show, and she referenced them like 7 hours after the show was done. You can only watch the show live unless you're a member. It implies that she's a member, which means that, look, I don't necessarily want to do her the great honor of giving her a dragon name, but she's earned it by clearly being a member. So I am gonna need some suggestions for all of you. Whoever comes up with the best dragon name for Marjorie Greene, as long as you qualify otherwise, you might get a Blue Apron gift card. So send those in and we'll read some as we go. With that said, I want to turn to something slightly more substantive to close out this segment. Let's talk about our B block. The child tax credit might be coming back, but if the Republicans have their way, it's going to look quite different than it has in the past. I'm talking here about Marco Rubio's Providing for Life Act. He didn't come up with it on his own, but he's sort of leading the charge for it. And here is what it would do. There is some good here, in fact. And other stuff that's totally needless. It would expand the child credit to $4,500 for children under the age of 6 and $3,500 for older kids, but it would only be paid out in one sum during tax time rather than the monthly payments proposed by the Democrats' American Family Act. That I don't understand exactly why you would make that change. I'm assuming that once you dig into it, there's some reasons that benefit financial companies or something that result in you doing that. It certainly seems less helpful to parents, but it is more money overall. So I guess that's good. But it isn't just the overall level that would be changed in the GOP plan. So they don't want it to just be a child tax credit. They want it to be a fetus tax credit. What they want to do is see the credit expanded retroactively so that a parent can claim the benefit for the year of pregnancy once the dependent is born. For example, a family whose baby is born in March 2024 would still be able to claim that child in their 2023 tax returns and receive their $4,500 tax break when they receive their refund in May or June. And this is where I assume they're trying to put us like in a difficult position. Obviously, I want as much help as possible to go to people who need this benefit. So I'm perfectly happy to see the benefit go to someone who was merely pregnant during this time rather than had a child. But we also cannot ignore that they're not trying to like establish a little bit more precedent for considering fetuses to be legally indistinguishable from children. That is clearly what they're going for here. And there are other changes that I'll get to, but Adrian, I've thrown a few things out there. What do you make about their proposed plan?
Oh, I think you're spot on. You're right on target. The fact is that they do want at the federal level that recognition of fetuses being actual human beings and being treated in that regard. The thing is, they ain't prepared for it, because the moment it comes in tax codes and credits like this, also the moment that it comes in child support payments, and that generally hits the patriarchy a little bit in the pockets and all the other things that are recognized when you have an actual human being, you're going to see a lot of case law start to come out. That is not going to be something that the Republicans actually want or the patriarchy actually wants. So they're not thinking down the line, but I sure am grinning ear to ear if they ended up getting things like this passed, because the challenges are going to come and they're going to come quick.
Yeah, and it's possible that, you know, even if they passed it in this form, that much of it could stay, but part of it could be changed as a result of a challenge. That's possible too. here is most of these, I think, are all things that we can have a discussion about. We can go back and forth and see whether we think there's good or bad. Then there's this. Republicans are also eyeing changing the eligibility requirements for the child tax credit. Under the Providing for Life Act, parents who want to claim the credit would need to be employed. Previously, Americans did not need to earn income in order to be eligible for the credit. And look, I think on some level this makes sense, because why would you provide additional financial support to a person who, for a variety of reasons, very often outside of their control, can't hold down or is physically incapable of holding down employment? This is just needlessly cruel. Like, this is a massive middle finger to people who are doing what you want them to do. And I'm still talking to Marjorie Greene here. You want them to be pregnant. You want them to have child after child after white child after white child. That's what you want. And yet you're gonna punish them for not doing it while working. Jesus. For comparison's sake, the Democrats want to bring back the 2021 credit worth $3,600 for children under the age of 6, $3,000 for older children, paid out in monthly installments. And there's a new feature that increases the size of the benefit in the month that the child is born to $2,000, meaning that for that first year, families can receive up to $5,300. That is not in the Senate companion bill. That's just the Democrats' House bill. So look, I like overall that the Republicans are technically providing more money. I don't know exactly how it works out in terms of paying it out once a year rather than month by month. But as always, they can't just do something that's good and helpful. They have to throw in their culture, ideological, identity-based war BS. Something hopefully will be passed. And while I've always been supportive of the child tax credit, for reasons that I don't fully understand, I'm way more into it right now at this phase in my life than I previously was. But anyway, people need the help. It's wildly popular. Something like this or an amalgamation of the two plans, I think, should pass. I'll give the final word to you, Adrian. What do you think?
You know, I think it would be incredibly impactful to have something like this pass and continue to support people who do have children, without a doubt, something you and I, everyone, a lot of people do want. But like you said, putting those conditions on there that they know will ultimately end up statistically benefiting certain groups of people, it just really shows you that their true agenda isn't for every child to be cared for or for every family to be uplifted, but no, just the particular ones that may happen to look like them or co-sign to their benefits and live lives that align with their beliefs.
100%. You're already doing this to incentivize living a certain type of life. How many extra stipulations do you feel like you should be able to throw on there? Apparently a lot. Anyway, we've got a lot more to talk about where that came from. We're gonna take a short break. Be back after this. Okay, everybody, we're gonna jump back in the news. If you're just joining us now, please hit the like button. If you don't generally watch the show, maybe you're a new viewer or whatever, Marjorie Greene, we do like it when people hit the like button. It helps algorithmically to make sure that more people, more members of Congress join us on the stream. Anyway, with that said, let's jump into more news. The Biden administration under the Department of Justice have now filed a civil lawsuit against the state of Texas earlier this week over Governor Greg Abbott's decision to install a 1,000-foot floating border barrier in the Rio Grande River near the city of Eagle Pass. It has been criticized by, I'm gonna say, human rights activists as a murderous act, a willful attempt to kill people in the river that is already reaping benefits for the people who want to see more migrants die on their way into the United States. We're gonna talk a little bit about this lawsuit, the response from the Abbott administration, but I will let you know that based on the filing of the lawsuit, they say, "His floating barrier poses threats to navigation and public safety and presents humanitarian concerns. Additionally, the presence of the floating barrier has prompted diplomatic protests by Mexico and risks damaging US foreign policy." Now, they mention a few things there because they're going through multiple different areas of the law to attempt to get this taken down, and we'll break those down. But first, here is a shot of the barriers. You'll notice it's wrapped in barbed wire. That is certainly a choice. that these Republican Christians have made. What they think is that people are swimming across the river without enough of their skin being torn off. And they've come up with this novel solution to that. They really think that they can do more in the area of skin ripping by installing this barbed wire. So very innovative on the part of Greg Abbott and his administration. We're gonna turn to some more of the legal arguments, but Adrian, what do you make of this?
You know, just like you'd mentioned, that added level of just distasteful, absolutely inhumane. It's just, it's crazy what they're doing in Texas, that barbed wire, the thought that we not only want to discourage and hopefully prevent people from coming over, but we want them to physically suffer in the event that they come to our country seeking asylum. It's gross, and I'm glad that the Biden administration is stepping up to sue, because it's violating several laws out there and possibly international treaties as well.
Yeah, I want to correct myself. I noticed a comment, apologies. When I get something wrong, I feel like I should fix that. It is not barbed wire, it's razor wire. It's more dangerous, more deadly. So I want to make sure that people understand what's actually going on there. And just, I know that I'm going to be like focused on this for a bit or whatever, but like, can you imagine Jesus just looking at the floating barriers and think, you know what that needs? That needs razor wire. And then Jesus, who, you know, he was a carpenter, so he's good with his hands, he's very handy, wrapping it in razor wire so that the people who are so desperate to get out of the situations they were in other countries are willing to swim across this river can be torn open and bleed out in the river. Can you imagine Jesus doing that? I don't have to, I'm an atheist. I'm just saying, if you're a conservative Christian or whatever, can you imagine Jesus? What would Jesus wrap with razor wire is the question that I would ask you. Anyway, one of the ways that the DOJ is suing Texas is by violating the Rivers and Harbors Act. It says that this section of the Rivers and Harbors Act prohibits the unauthorized obstruction or alteration of any navigable water of the US. Basically, you can't do this sort of construction unless it's recommended by the Chief of Engineers and authorized by the Secretary of the Army. I wish that you did not need to get into this sort of thing to try to reverse the building of these barriers. But I understand why legally they might feel like it is easier to win in this area than in the fact that this is obviously designed to kill people. So I guess that's what they're doing. Anyway, by having this lawsuit, I guess Greg Abbott is getting what he wanted. He had said earlier this week, Texas will see you in court, Mr. President. All of this is happening because you have violated your constitutional obligation to defend the states against invasion through faithful execution of federal laws. And by that he means that a bunch of people are crossing the southern border. In fact, at one point there were like record levels. And so obviously if people are crossing the border, then your administration is utterly illegitimate. Unless it was under Trump where tons and tons of people crossed the border and it didn't bother them at all. Anyway, oh by the way, also migrant crossings are way down. They've absolutely plummeted, falling to far lower levels than before. Weird that that doesn't affect the right wingers. Like they say that lots of people crossing the border is reason to sue Biden, to impeach him. And yet when the numbers fall, getting to far less than half of what they were just a few months ago, they don't care about that. It's weird. It's almost like the absolute number of migrants crossing the border is not actually their concern, that this is a convenient ruse of some sort. I'm not saying that's what they're doing. I'm just saying that that's how they're acting. Anyway, we don't know exactly how this is going to proceed. We do have to bear in mind, as we will have to for a few years at least, the conservatives have a supermajority in the Supreme Court. They can effectively do whatever they want. They've shown a willingness to do whatever they want. So if this challenge gets all the way to them, I'm not saying they haven't done anything reasonable over the last couple of years, but it's rare. So I don't necessarily have a lot of hope. Adrian, you obviously have a lot more expertise in this area. What do you think might happen?
I hope that they get the right judge, that's for sure, because we know how Trump had infiltrated all the courts with all these members of the judiciary who are unwilling to acknowledge and recognize the laws. But otherwise, this should be a pretty strong case moving forward for the federal government. You know, DOJ pointing out, hey, there's a whole Rivers and Harbors Act. Your little Operation Lone Star is running afoul of the Constitution, and we're not just going to trim a little fat off of it. So it just really continues to show you that these right wingers out here, like Greg Abbott, that they do not care about the law. No, they are using circumstances that may not even be in existence right now as a way to rile up their base, knowing that their base is ill-informed and uninformed.
Yeah, yeah, and hoping that they will remain so and possibly get worse in the future. Anyway, good to see the Biden administration doing this. We have, I think, rightly been very critical of a lot of what they've done on the border, which one of the most ironic things of the first few years of the Biden administration is they've been endlessly attacked from day one by the Republicans, when much of what they've done is, in some cases willingly, in some cases unwillingly, continuing the border policies of the Trump administration. There have been times when they're clearly doing it to score points with the right, as if that's a thing that can happen. I didn't understand it at the time. The fact that they're being attacked in this way is a demonstration of how ridiculous a strategy that was. The body of a missing paddle boarder was found earlier this week outside of Martha's Vineyard. The deceased turned out to be Tafari Campbell, who we have a photo of, who was a chef of former President Barack Obama. Apparently was visiting Martha's Vineyard when he tragically passed away. He was apparently seen struggling in the water of Great Pond Sunday night before he went under. Massachusetts State Police divers found his body around 10 a.m. Monday using side scan sonar from a boat. His body was recovered about 100 feet from shore in about 8 feet of water. So this is obviously a massive tragedy, you know, to die while on vacation. He's paddle boarding, he's just trying to have fun. And so it's devastating for him, his family, everyone who knows him. It gets a little bit worse in a way that we're gonna describe in a second. But I just wanna just pause for a second on the fact that a person's life has been lost. That is going to be immediately set aside by everyone who sees some sort of political benefit to gain from the fact that a person has died. But Adrian, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. This is, it's tragic and it's unfortunate. The man was out there engaging in a leisure activity. He's top of his game and contributing to the world, the culinary arts. And for him to lose his life, it just reminds us also of the power of the water and how careful we have to be. But also the fact is that we should not let the loss of Mr. Campbell's life be overshadowed by the conspiracy theories that I know you are going to go into.
We're going to look, I will say I agree. I don't know when it was that I developed what I guess would be described as a fear of the ocean. I don't know, maybe it comes out of the trip that I took in the Arctic. I spent many weeks in the Arctic on a boat. I don't know, maybe it came from that. But yeah, it's, we don't control it. Like whatever, we have all this technology and all these developments and all this stuff that we've done, all this mastery of the world. That ends like 10 feet off the shore, and then it's a different world. It's basically outer space. It is dangerous. I've come close to drowning before, let alone, you know, sharks, which I understand they don't attack as many people think, but it's still scary and it does happen. So anyway, you have to be constantly vigilant. All he was doing was paddleboarding close to the shore. He wasn't doing anything super risky. He wasn't acting irresponsible. It can just happen. So that said, President Obama, Mrs. Obama released a joint statement. Bear in mind that they have a home on the island, but they weren't there. That would seem to be a relevant fact for what we're gonna talk about. You will quickly find out that it's not. They said Tafari was a beloved part of our family. When we first met him, he was a talented sous chef at the White House, creative and passionate about food and its ability to bring people together. In the years that followed, we got to know him as a warm, fun, extraordinarily kind person who made all of our lives a little better. That's why when we were getting ready to leave the White House, we asked Tafari to stay with us and he generously agreed. He's been part of our lives ever since and our hearts are broken that he's gone. Today we join everyone who knew and loved Tafari, especially his wife Charisse and their twin boys, Xavier and Savin, in grieving the loss of a truly wonderful man. Sad, again, everyone who knows him is just devastated by something that they could have never expected would happen. And that would seem to be enough for most people. A reminder that we live in a chaotic world that we can attempt to control, but fundamentally will never be able to. It is a wild and chaotic place. But for others, that is not acceptable. It's too scary, they get too much anxiety from that, and thus enters conspiracism. The belief that everything can be explained, must be explained, because we are too terrified of the idea that it might not be explained. So the fact that a man, a healthy man, only 45 years old, could die while doing a leisure activity, nope. He was clearly killed by the Obamas. So people like the Hodge twins tweeting, so Obama's personal chef just drowned in a paddleboard accident in a pond. Clinton's personal chef accidentally drowned too. You see, there's a link. Their chef died, Clinton's chef died. Why there would be some sort of plot to bump off chefs, I don't know, and they're not explaining. But there's a thing that's the same, so I guess that explains it. Cat Turd just posts a photo from Chappaquiddick. You see, a politician was involved in the tragic death of another person and Water was involved. Thus, if anyone that's linked in any way to a politician dies and Water is involved in the future, it's obviously the same thing. This is the sort of incisive commentary and context added to politics that makes Cat Turd, who is a rando, worthy of millions of followers and the daily support of the richest man in the world. Anyway, we might get to more. In fact, we are gonna get to one more in a sec, but Adrian, we're in the conspiracy theories. He obviously was killed. Why? To what end? Nobody needs to say. It's just enough to say that he died and Obama is involved.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I'm surprised they haven't brought up, you know, Emmy contender, the bear. And this is some way of making sure that it doesn't get, I just really don't understand people where they're coming from. And the fact is that when you don't have a conspiracy, you just have real life. And being not necessarily fully in control when it comes to something like water, which we've all known to be a very dangerous and powerful thing to begin with, recognizing that maybe no one is necessarily 100% safe in it. It's okay to just respect that fact and go on about your life, be vigilant and move forward as opposed to playing up these tropes, these theories and conspiracies and thinking that it's a great way to remain or retain some type of stability in your life and have that control.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, the ironic thing is that of course there are things that are not necessarily widely known that are influencing outcomes, politics, all of that. But I guess it doesn't involve the supernatural, so it's not worth thinking of. We're gonna end with a graphic 8. This is from a QAnon person who posted, QPost 3474 was posted July 24th, 2019. And is the lone QPost containing the word chef within it. Today, Obama's chef was found dead, paddleboarding, 4 year delta to the day. Just say it's been 4 years since the day. Don't try to like be like James Bond or something with your Greek words. Unreal, witness protection. I understand this is not a person capable of rational thought, but what exactly is the theory here? Not that they would kill the chef, that's not enough. It's that it was predicted 4 years before they died. So what exactly happened? How did they know, Q, that they would kill him exactly 4 years later? Or what? Did they kill him because finally the stars had aligned and it was time to kill him? Is that why they did it? Oh, also, by the way, he went missing on Sunday. It wasn't the 24th, it was the 23rd. So it's not 4 years delta to the day, but don't let me get in the way between you and your theory. Oh, also, the word chef appeared there because the Twitter account was QAnon Pastry Chef, which means that everything that they posted had the word chef in it, not one post. That wasn't even a part of the Q drop, you moron. That was the person's online handle. And what's the significance there? I'm not saying that these theories can't be fun, but shouldn't there be at least an attempt at making an actual point? Anyway, with that said, continue sending in your dragon names for Marjorie Greene. We're gonna be reading more during our second break, which starts now. Runner-up prize goes to a Florida dragon for Gazpacho Dragon, but Peachtree is gonna have to win it. Anyway, with that said, let's move on to other news. We're doing okay on time, actually, against all odds. Just joining us now, hit the like button. We're gonna jump into it. A New York Times report published this weekend suggests that Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida during COVID, of course, in changing his approach to COVID and the things that he was saying about it, could potentially be linked to a lot of needless deaths once the vaccine was widely available in Florida. So just if you're not familiar with the flip-flop, here's a little reminder of it.
It's a single dose. You take it one time. You don't have to worry about it. And we're going to give them more because we want the shots to go in the arms. So my message is the vaccines protect you.
It is very clear on the vaccinations. You're much less likely to be hospitalized or die if you're vaccinated.
The benefit from them taking the shot, as you alluded to, it doesn't prevent them from getting infected or spreading it anyways.
But the mRNA shots were shown not to prevent the infection.
I have the ability as governor to convene what's called a statewide grand jury. So the statewide grand jury is now seated in the state of Florida. They're hearing testimony. And what they're basically trying to determine is, you know, what misrepresentations and lies were made about the mRNA COVID shots.
So it is important that you understand, especially a few years out from the pandemic, that while we rightly criticize Republicans, both elected officials as well as members of the media, right-wing influencers, all of that, for advocating for nothing to be done about COVID, lying about the vaccine, pushing colloidal silver, all of that, we should criticize them. We should never forget for the rest of our lives what they did during that time. It was the greatest dereliction of any sort of ethical obligation to the American people that we have ever seen in politics, and I hope we never see it defeated in that. But we also need to remember that that is not how it started. Ron DeSantis was openly advocating for people to take the vaccine up until it became politically incorrect to do so as a Republican. And then he switched. It would be one thing if he had always been against it. That would be terrible. But demonstrating that he knows that people should take it and then caring more about his political ambitions than the lives of tens of thousands of Floridians is way worse. And it's not just him, by the way. Donald Trump, of course, spoke seriously about COVID early on before he decided to just give up. Tucker Carlson was advocating for people to take it seriously, to socially distance and all that. It was very common early on, because why wouldn't it be? It's a public health crisis taking place under a Republican president. Obviously, you're going to try to stop it from being as bad as it might be. But only once Trump demonstrated that he was not going to stop it, he was not going to take it seriously, did they decide that there was more clout to be gained by pretending that it wasn't an issue. And that mattered. Early on in Florida, when the vaccine became available, lots of people were getting the vaccine. They were actually doing very well, sort of leading the nation in getting people vaccinated. Unfortunately, by July 2021, once you had comments coming from the leadership like Ron DeSantis, like you saw, their vaccine numbers had fallen from their early lead. Rates of vaccination among younger adults in the state were below the national average. And then you would eventually see the result of that. In later waves of the disease, more people died in Florida than in almost any other state during the Delta wave. Florida made 14% of deaths between July and October 2021, twice how big of a portion of the population they actually were. 23,000 Floridians died during the Delta wave, 9,000 of them younger than 65, a majority of whom were either unvaccinated or had gotten the first one and then declined to get the second one. It matters. And they hide behind these weaselly things like it doesn't prevent you from getting sick. Yes, it does not prevent everyone from getting sick in the same way that locking your door doesn't prevent everyone from being robbed. Having a gun doesn't protect everyone from violence happening to them. That has never stopped Republicans from trying to limit risk, limit damage and exposure in other areas. But like little snake weasels in this case, they hide behind stuff like that, knowing that people who are vaccinated get sick at lower rates, don't get as sick, and die at far lower rates. That is not controversial, but they lied to their own people for their own political gain. Adrian, what do you make of all this? Sorry to dredge up the pandemic for you again.
No, it's okay. I'm happy to join you to some extent in dredging up the past as far as I'm concerned, because you know, it would seem counterintuitive to advocate for something that would cause your constituents to die, especially if you'd like to get elected maybe on a national level. Because last time I checked, what, back in 2000, when we're talking Bush v. Gore, the final official Florida count was given to Bush at a victory of like 530 some odd votes. Yeah. So it would tell me that having numbers is important for people to support you, but why DeSantis would think killing people who are his potential constituents would be helpful to him in some way, I just don't get it. But I know, again, it's destructive, it's deadly, and it seems to be very much the Ron DeSantis way.
100%, and it's now locked in. For all time, they either because they're incapable of learning, or as I speculated in the pre-port today, because they staked a claim on it's not gonna be that bad, we don't need to get vaccinated. They were proven wrong a million times over, a mountain of needless dead, disproportionately conservative. And you could either learn from that, you can accept the mistake that you made and the damage that it did, or you can just hide from it for the rest of your life, like an utter intellectual coward, coming up with distractions and evasions, making conspiracy theories about LeBron James's son having a heart attack because of the vaccine, hiding behind conspiracism and willful ignorance. That's a different way that you can go, I guess. Unfortunately, you can spread as many conspiracy theories as you want. It's not gonna bring back one of the people who needlessly died. Anyway, with that said, all of the death that we already saw, not enough for them. Many on the right, just desperate to see more people needlessly die. We're gonna have an example of that starting with this.
End America's second civil war now before it begins. Roughly half of Republicans and over a third of Democrats believe America is on the brink of civil war. If such an unthinkable war breaks out, it will be the Democrats' fault. In their quest for power, radical elements within the Democrat Party have abandoned any pretense of fairness, tolerance, and justice.
That is Peter Navarro, former White House Director of Trade, who is doing what you do as a right winger in the media. You talk in totally neutral terms about a civil war. Meghan McCain did this once on The View. Like, it might happen, it might happen. And then you add on, if it happens, and if it happens, it will happen with right wingers committing acts of terror. Let's be clear, it's not an actual war. It's deranged right wingers with assault rifles gunning down as many people as possible. Arguably, it's already begun because we see that on a daily basis. And when it happens, it'll be the Democrats' fault. Why? Because we don't like their policies. So we're justified in murdering them in mass numbers. That is a former White House official, an economic advisor, who is now openly pre-apologizing for partisan violence on a mass scale. Adrian, what do you think?
I think this is very much aligned with their ideologies. It's the thought that you made me do it. I had no other choice. It's like, how much more twisted can you be? And also the quickness to run to violence when you don't like something. You would like to think that we are some kind of evolved society in some way, but no. No, we're just gonna come back to fisticuffs. We're just gonna come back to tearing people apart and having a civil war against each other. It just continues to show everyone that the mentality here is violence if it doesn't go my way.
Yeah, 100%. So, okay, so this is the game that we're playing. Okay, so if you guys get in power, let's see, you guys hand trillions of dollars away to the wealthiest people in America. You destroyed bodily autonomy. You're trying to utterly wipe out the trans community. So we've now listed terrible, unacceptable things that you've done. So I guess if lefties start committing acts of mass violence, I guess by your logic, we were forced to do it. And in fact, it's your fault. You're the one guilty for your own deaths. Is that the game that we want to play as a country? That we both make up childish, immature, illogical pretexts for political terrorism. I don't want to live in that country. I don't want that to be the way that this is run.
I would say that's the Kyle Rittenhouse rationale. That's 100%. Exactly what it is. You made me do it.
You made me do it. Okay, well, we have a little bit more from him. Let's see if maybe he'll nuance it. We'll see.
Back this anti-democratic truck up before it runs over you. Do you not understand that the longer you engage in your assaults on American families and values, the more likely a new civil war becomes? And do you not understand that the perverse precedents you are creating through your weaponized bureaucracies and woke attacks will come back to haunt you as soon as Republicans take back Trump's America from your cold, woke hands?
Okay, so that is just a threat to murder. That's it. That's you guys gave Dylan Mulvaney Bud Lights, so we are going to kill you. If you don't stop doing these things that you were elected to do, because of course you got millions more votes than we did, and on these policies, when you poll the American people, they support you and not us. If you continue doing those things, we're going to kill you. We are going to back a truck over you. You're going to have cold, dead hands. That is just a threat to mass political violence. That's all that is. And you know, I'm tempted to say that like that's supposed to come from a weird rando rather than a former White House official. But of course, in the modern era, those two things go hand in hand. He is both a former White House official and now a weirdo rando guy online standing in front of a low res picture of the Constitution or whatever. We're not going to get away from this no matter what happens, but God help us if Donald Trump does get into power and once again embolden these people and hand them actual political power. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for the first hour of the show. We do have more coming in the aftermath, not only an awesome interview, but also more news. So don't go anywhere. Adrian and I will be back after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.